before we turn to the theme of today, which is give to the Lord the glory due his name, and before we take a look at this picture of this happy old woman and a little baby, let's recognize where we are in the liturgical year. We're celebrating Christmas. Christmas is, yes, December 25, but it is celebrated for an octave, 8 days, and then for a season. So that's another week. Here we are in the octave. This is the sixth day of Christmas, the sixth day of celebration, not only the birth of this little baby, but the presence of God in the world in this child. So the presence of heaven on earth, the presence of the Word made flesh. That's our joyful celebration all throughout this octave. It's going to continue tomorrow, Feast of the Holy Family, and then again on Monday, the Solemnity of Mary, the Mother of God. So the presence of God in the world, born in Bethlehem, is present in the family we celebrate tomorrow. The human family is the place where God comes into the world. And then on Monday, we'll honor especially the Mother of God. God who had no beginning, who has no beginning, who doesn't need any mother, he doesn't come from anyone or anything. He, in becoming man, he had to have a mother. So just like all of us, every single person has a mother. Well, so does Jesus Christ, to celebrate her on Monday. And that's the octave day. Then after that, the Christmas season extends another week, because the following Sunday is the Epiphany, and then the day after that, the baptism, and that's it. It turns out that this Mass here is our only chance to have a thematic Mass during the Christmas season, because the Christmas season is very short. And today is also the last Mass we have of this year 2023, because tomorrow is a Sunday, last day of the year, and then Monday, the first day of the year, is a holy day of obligation, and we don't have a Mass here in the chapel. So this is our kind of our Christmas celebration, our end of the year celebration, our Thanksgiving celebration. It's our opportunity to give to the Lord the glory due his name. It's giving God glory is a responsibility that is on all of us. It's the just way to respond to God. And we heard in the first reading that it's for the children, it's for the fathers, it's for the young men. And then in the gospel, we'll hear about the old woman, Anna. So it's for everybody. We have children here. Welcome to all these children. We have young men. That's the whole choir is young men. And then we have fathers. And so we even have some older women here, so, like Anna. All here to give to the Lord the glory due his name. Now let's take a look at this theme. It comes from today's Psalm, Psalm 96. We had this psalm yesterday too. Let the heavens be glad and earth rejoice. It's a Christmas psalm. But this section of the psalm starts out, this is starting with verse 7. Give to the Lord, you families of nations. Give to the Lord glory and praise. Give to the Lord the glory due his name. That's the theme. Give to the Lord the glory due his name. To reflect on this, we have to, first of all, the idea of his name, that means his person, right? It's not just, we're not just glorifying the name separated from God, where the name is God. That's his holy name. So we're giving to the Lord the glory due to him. Now, the challenging thing for pondering this is, well, what is glory? What does God want us to give him? How can we give him anything? He has everything. What is glory? Well, glory, first of all, it's a very rich word, and it's everywhere in the Bible, Old Testament and New Testament. But it has to do with manifesting power, goodness, importance, majesty. It has to do with showing what is due to someone that has these qualities. So the most glorious of all is God himself. That's why it's only a fulfillment and justice to give God glory, because he deserves all glory, because he is all powerful. He's the most important. He's the most majestic, the most beautiful, the most wise. He deserves all the glory. Not that it changes anything for him, but it's right for us to give him glory. So give to the Lord the glory due his name. It's for our good to do that, because then we fulfill our mission, which is to give God glory. The psalm continues. I'll just touch this as a little sidelight. The psalm continues, bring gifts and enter his courts. That's what we do when you come to Mass. We bring gifts. We enter into the temple of the Lord. Worship the Lord in holy attire. Attire is clothing, right? If you've noticed that sign outside the chapel, it's a little bit faded now. But the verse at the bottom of that sign is, worship the Lord in holy attire. It's a little reminder that there's a proper way to dress when we come into a church, and there's improper ways. And if you want to understand it, just look at the little sign. So that's not the point of today. But it's a good thing to remember that part of the way we give God glory is by the way we dress, the way we present ourselves. It doesn't change who we are. It doesn't change who God is. But it's a fitting thing. It's a fitting expression of the greatness of God. So bring gifts. This is Christmas time, is a season of gift giving, right? And enter his courts, worship the Lord in holy attire, tremble before him all the earth. Okay. So this idea of honoring the majesty of God, of praising God, of thanking him, of offering him a right response, is made possible at Christmas time because God has come to us. This psalm was written long before Jesus ever showed up. The Jews knew that it was right to give God glory. But now with the coming of God on earth, our glory is focused on this little baby. And if you remember, the very first heavenly announcement on Christmas Eve was when the angels came, and what did they say? Glory to God in the highest. Glory. Huh? Gloria in excelsis Deo. That was what they proclaimed. So the angels give glory to God. The angels help us to give glory to God, to give the Lord the glory due his name. So this term glory is a Christmas term. Every day this week, during this octave, we sing the Gloria. We just sang it a moment ago. Glory to God in the highest. Glory to God in the highest. It's the right way to respond to God. Yes, to God in heaven, but also to God who has come down to earth. Come as one of us. One thing about glory is that it is of its nature something to be given. There is a distortion of glory, which we call self-glorification. And this ruins it completely, because once we give glory to ourselves, well, we close the system, we close the door on ourselves, we lock ourselves into a kind of unhealthy environment. Self-glorification actually squashes us. It's tempting to glorify ourselves because we think we make ourselves better or more impressive, or we get more affirmation or something. But in fact, we distort ourselves. We make ourselves ugly. We stifle ourselves when we focus on self-glorification. A great image of this in the Christmas season is that famous fictional character, Scrooge, from the Christmas Carol. You know that story of Charles Dickens. Scrooge decided to put all his focus on himself, to keep all his money for himself, to keep all his love for himself, to glorify himself. And what happened was, he ruined himself. That's self-glorification. But the real character of glory is it's something to be given. It's something to be opened out to. It's something that's right in the very nature of God. The Father, Son, and Holy Spirit don't keep anything for themselves. They give glory to one another. God is a kind of eternal generator of glory. And you know that Jesus often spoke about this, giving glory to the Father and the Father glorifying his Son. They talk about this, how they honor one another. It's inherent in the real nature of glory to give it, to give due glory. And God wants us to be glorified. He wants to give us glory, even though we don't deserve it. But when he made us in his image, he made us glorious. made us something that is worthy of due respect, a due honor. Now, we don't glorify one another the way we glorify God, because we're not God. But we're made in the image of God, and that's why we should have profound respect for each human person, including for ourselves. Goes back to this line about worshiping the Lord in holy attire. Dressing properly is one way of respecting ourselves too, as well as respecting others. Okay, so here's this mystery of glory, which is to be given. And then we have God, who, full of glory, empties himself of glory and becomes a little baby. Now, babies are beautiful and cute and innocent, but they're not glorious. There's nothing about them. They're not powerful. They can't talk. They can't walk. They can't do anything. They're completely helpless. So they're not glorious in this sense. I'm not saying anything against babies, but when God became a baby, he emptied himself of glory. He humbled himself. He lowered himself in order to give to us. There's a little baby on the song sheet here. He's glowing, but he's not doing anything. His eyes are closed. He's wrapped up in swaddling clothes. He's just resting in the arms of this old woman, who is Anna, the prophetess we heard about in the gospel. So we have this, this side-by-side story of the little baby, very young, 40 days old, and this old woman, 84 years old, and here they're put together. And there's something glorious about this. See, Anna is the example given to us today of someone who knows how to give to the Lord the glory due his name. Babies, they can't do anything other than they do. I mean, they don't make any choices. They're just who they are. They're very transparent. Sometimes they look selfish, maybe, and they're screaming for their food, or they want their diaper changed or something. But there's nothing. There's no manipulation in babies. There's no decision about to be anything other than what they are. But when people get older, well, then they become the fruit of a whole series of their personal decisions. And by the time someone's 84 years old, she's made quite a number of decisions, either for the glory of God or for self-glorification. So babies, in some ways, are all very similar to each other. But older people are all very different from each other, because the longer we grow, the more different we become. I'm sure you know older people who are beautiful in their selflessness, in their desire to serve their families, in their desire to serve God, in their willingness to sacrifice. There are many people like this. But I'm sure you also know older people who are cranky, selfish complainers, and all they do is make everybody miserable. That's the difference between giving the Lord the glory due his name and self-glorification. If we shut the door on ourselves, we make ourselves miserable and everybody else. If we open the door to others, and especially if we open our heart to give glory to God, well, we become a channel of grace for others as well. And this is Anna. Anna has passed through the stages of life, the ups and downs of life. We know that she was widowed after only 7 years of marriage. That was probably the lowest point of her life. She's married, and we don't know if she had any children, but suddenly her husband dies and she's left a young widow. We wish we could talk to her and ask her how she persevered through that trial. Maybe she had a time when she questioned God. Maybe she had a time when she wondered about the meaning of her life, probably, because that's what happens to us when we get knocked down. When we have crisis, we wonder, where is God? What are we supposed to do? And if we can hold on to God, if we can persevere through those trials, we can come out better on the other side, even more capable of giving him glory. And this seems to be a good description of what happens to Anna. That's why it's beautiful to have her smiling face here. Here's someone who has been purified by the trials of life and come out better. She's glorious. She's glorious because she has completely abandoned herself to God. She's ready to worship God. She's ready to recognize the work of God, even in this helpless 40-day-old baby. See, Anna understands that in order to thrive, in order to live, in order to be fully ourselves, we have to give ourselves. We have to keep going. And this is something that not everybody learns, or at least not fully, because of the trials of life. Very often in the beginning, no, we're excited, there's a lot of possibility, everything's going well, we're healthy, we're strong, we're young. These are young men. And then a lot of possibility, a lot of hope. So when people start families, when they get married, when they start a new business, when they start something new and they're young, everything looks great. Well, that is great. That's the way things should start. But a time always comes when something goes wrong or some contradiction enters into life. In Anna's case, her husband dies after only 7 years. In everybody's life, something happens that knocks us down. And the temptation then is to withdraw, to close the door, to protect ourselves. This is what happened to Scrooge, right? Scrooge, he got disappointed, he got hurt, he got afraid. Closed his life in on himself in order to not be hurt anymore. Wrong choice. And there's a temptation to simply to live in mediocrity, to just coast along, to just get along the best you can and not make things more difficult than they already are. Wrong choice. That doesn't give glory to anybody, to God or anybody. The right choice is what Anna does here. Pours herself out for the glory of God. She recognizes God is still in charge. God is the one who gives meaning to her life. And she wants to live fully that meaning. It says here she never left the temple. She worshiped night and day with fasting and prayer. Well, that's, you know, just a way of speaking. Of course, she left the temple. She had to sleep somewhere. She had to eat somewhere. But she was always in the presence of God. And that's why her life is fulfilled. Even at age 84, she's able to give to the Lord the glory due his name. So she's the model set before us now. She's not the only one, but she's the one here in the gospel. She's a reminder to us that we are fulfilled in life. In fact, we have joy in life if we give to the Lord the glory due his name, if we're willing to give of ourselves. That's what makes life worth living. We're here because of God. We're here for God. So like Anna, like Simeon, who we heard about yesterday, like all the people in the first reading mentioned here, the children, the fathers, the young men, let's turn ourselves away from this tendency to self-glorification. Let's open ourselves to God, give him the glory due his name, and in that way become a blessing to one another. And that way also is the best way to celebrate Christmas.